We are to increase in the fruitfulness within our lives. We must not be content spiritually. Think of it this way too, right? A garden that is not tended, or a garden that is not cared for, very, very quickly the weeds take over.
Welcome to Live in the Light, listeners. We are so glad to have you here with us as we walk together through the book of 2 Peter in a series called Character, Corruption, and the Second Coming. In the last message, Peter explains to us why we have no excuse not to grow. And today he expands into application. We are calling this message Supernatural Power Must Lead to Supernatural Fruit. That sounds pretty direct to me, but I don't have a lot of experience in the supernatural power department. Hey, Robbie, help me out. What kind of supernatural power are we getting into today?
Well, Shane, I think you have more experience than you realize, actually. You're a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has set you free and made sure that his power does reside in you. So that's the reality for every believer. And that's a great lead-in, again, to our message today, that all of us who are genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, we have the divine power of God in us, therefore, to what? To produce fruit through us. It's just amazing. And then what we see today in our call to sanctification, and of course, sanctification is to grow more like Jesus Christ. God again works in us, and we work out with our effort as well what he's given us to see fruit come from our lives. And the promises that come from this reality is that as we see fruit, we will be effective. Man, Shannon, you and I want to be effective. We want to have our lives count. Well, the Bible tells us here's how we are effective and fruitful in our lives. And then the promises that come, I'm kind of giving up the whole message right now, but hey, it's okay. It promises we will never fall. If we do this, we will never fall. I mean, who needs to hear that right now? And then the ultimate promise as this passage ends today is the glorious reality that we will gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, Lord, please may it be so. So again, man, I want to hear this message. So I hope others do too right now. 2 Peter chapter 1, what are we, verses 5 to 11 or so. It's going to be really, really good. And again, Shannon, take us there.
Let's just go. If you need more detail, if you're excited about what today's message is, then you can open your Bible with me and we will get into it together. Supernatural power must lead to supernatural fruit.
2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 5 to 11 today. And this is the second week in our series in 2 Peter. You can see our series title up on the screen there, Character, Corruption, and the Second Coming. I like that title. I hope you like it too. It does define really the three main themes of 2 Peter. And essentially, not perfectly, but essentially chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 of 2 Peter 2. Last week, we started off by learning this. We started off by learning we have no excuse not to grow. No one who is saved in Jesus Christ has a legitimate excuse of why they are not to grow in Jesus Christ. And we ask the question, well, why is that? Well, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1, they have been given to us and teach us that the reason that we have no excuse not to grow is because in the Lord, we have been given divine power. We've been given divine promises. And this leads us to share in his divine nature, which is an astounding theology, really. And so with that fact and truth, we have no excuse not to grow. Now, as we come to verse 5, Peter is building on this truth with exact application. That's what's happening here. And what Peter now explains, he explains this, that supernatural power, listen, loved ones, supernatural power must lead to supernatural fruit. That's our sermon title today. Supernatural power must lead to supernatural fruit. In verses 3 and 4, what Peter does, really, he provides the picture from overhead, right? The 30,000-foot view, you could say, or the overhead drone shot, right? And gives us a big picture of the reality of our salvation in Christ, divine power, divine promises. We are partaking of God's divine nature. But now what he does in verse 5, he's like, hey, let's put the drone down and let's now get on the ground and actually go up close and see in detail as to the application of this truth. And so Peter's going to answer the following questions. When it comes to power, must lead to fruit. He's going to ask and answer the questions, what does this supernatural fruit look like? Like, what can we expect from our lives as we are growing in Jesus Christ? Can we name the fruit? And the answer is yes. What is the everyday impact of this fruit is another question Peter's going to ask and then answer. And then we'll see this also today. What is the end result of such a pursuit? What is the end result of such fruit that Peter again speaks of? So let's jump into our text here, 2 Peter 1, look at verse 5. And here's what, again, the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Peter. For this very reason, building off of verses 3 and 4, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities, notice, are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Wow. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, just notice the theme all throughout this, the qualities, the pursuit of fruit in Christ. If you practice these qualities, here's a promise, you will never fall. Amen? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good promise. Verse 11, for in this way, here's more promises, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, I'm excited for today. And our lead into our outline is this, because we want to make sure our theology is backing again the imperatives that are coming. So our lead in is this, by God's power and presence in my life, verses 3 and 4, now we get the outline for verse 5. Number one, I will make every effort to grow. By God's power and presence in my life, I will make every effort to grow. Again, look at verse 5. We're studying scripture. We're students of God's word. We're learning again how to study God's word throughout our lives. Verse 5 starts with, for this very reason, right? So everything's building off of the truth that preceded it. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Again, so this is where the context of scripture is everything. If you took verse 5 by itself, okay, that would be very problematic. It's dangerous to take verses out of context, of course. If you just take verse 5 by itself and it says, make every effort to supplement your faith, you're like, oh yeah, okay, wake up. I got to try harder. It's up to me. I got to try harder in the Christian life. Harder, harder, harder. Work out more on my own strength and I got to do it. Right here, it's verse 5. Make every effort to supplement your faith. And if we read it in just with verse 5, we would be doing disservice to the Bible and we'd be actually be furthering false teaching within our lives. Because it does say, make every effort, but it says before that, for this very reason, right? So we're learning as we understand scripture that the command for this very reason is built on the massive truth of verses 3 and 4. So and so important, again, as we do this. Verses 3 and 4 teach us that God has given us divine power, his divine power. Through salvation by his Spirit, we have been given his divine promises in his word, the promises of the gospel, the promises of the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. We've also been given the reality that we will share in his divine nature, okay? So that's very, very important theology foundation leading then to verse 5. You have divine power, divine promises, you are sharing it in divine nature for this very reason, because of what you've been trusted with by the Lord himself. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. See, what the New Testament so often teaches is this. Listen carefully. Grace precedes demand. I want you to get that. This is very, very, very important for your discipleship. Grace in the New Testament precedes demand. A lot of us understand what I'm talking about. Some of us don't. Let's unpack it further. The declaration of grace is verses 3 and 4. The obligation of effort is now verse 5. But that order is absolutely critical. The declaration of God's grace, power, promises, sharing in divine nature, all by God. He's declaring grace over his children. That is the foundation now for the imperative of the obligation now of effort, which is found in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. See, we cannot interpret verse 5 as either legalism or moralism. It's very important that we don't do that. And some have, and some love to do that. They false teaching all throughout 2 millennia of people standing up and like, it's all about your effort. You got to try harder and strive harder. And that's true in one level, but it has to be based on the grace that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 2 here as a way of another. This is the Apostle Paul now saying the same thing. Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation. That's true. That's right. That's what we are to do. We are to make every effort to work out our own salvation. Sanctification, growing more like Christ, is us and God, but it's not just us. We have to make decisions for Christ on a daily basis. We can choose to wake up and to work out our salvation. We can choose to wake up and come to church on Sunday morning, or we can choose not to. We can choose to pray or choose not to pray. We are to work out our salvation. We can choose to share our faith or not share our faith. Those are choices we make again, but notice with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So this is the verses 3 and 4. This is the God part, which of course is essential to God working in that we might work out. God works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, as only Charles Spurgeon can do in just incredible brilliance, which I wish I had, but I don't. He says this, God sends every bird his food. That's grace, but he doesn't throw it in the nest. Isn't that helpful? That's helpful. This is exactly what we're talking about. God provides all the food for the birds. But man, the birds work hard. The grace is the provision of God, but they got to go collect it, right? That's the effort. This is what we're being taught here, loved ones. And both are right and both are true. It's the grace of God, which is the foundation for our life and our salvation. And it's the grace of God, which is the foundation for our sanctification, becoming more like Christ. However, at some point, we got to jump in. At some point, we got to make choices that put Jesus first and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. At some point, again, we are part of this equation when it comes to growing. And this is why Peter says, make every effort. So now the question is this, well, where should we place our efforts then when it comes to fruitfulness in Jesus Christ? Well, Peter's helpful. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, gives this list of qualities in verses 5 through 7. Now, it is unlikely that this list of qualities is to be viewed as a progression, meaning if you don't master the first, then you can't move on to the second. I don't think it's teaching that at all. And I think it's a mistake to teach that. I mean, right from the beginning, we say, supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. Now, which comes first, biblically speaking, virtue or knowledge? Well, I think I don't think we can necessarily nail it down. And I really don't think virtue necessarily comes before knowledge. I think in so many cases, the knowledge of God leads to virtue. So I think we've got to be careful. Like, well, until I get the virtue, I can't have knowledge. If I don't have knowledge, then I can't have steadfast, whatever it is. We got to be careful that we do that. Rather, seeing this list here as desired fruit of the genuine Christian life, which is very good and very appropriate. We look at this list, we're like, yeah, awesome, man. We need to grow in knowledge and we need to grow in steadfastness and self-control and godliness and brotherly affection and love. This is the desire of our lives. Now, the only exception I'd say to this in this list is it does start with faith, which is the root of the entire Christian life. And it does end with, what does it end with, this list? Love, yes, love, which is the climax. The greatest of these is love. So I think in that sense, I think that's intentional. Faith, and then of course, ending with love. But we see this, we want to grow. These are the practical ways or the beautiful spiritual ways we want to grow within our lives. So let's just take a moment. I don't have time to like unpack in detail every single quality here and apply it in great detail. We have a lot to get through and baptism weekends, all that. But let's at least address each quality here in this list being true to God's word. First, we have faith. Supplement your faith. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the beginning of the Christian life. And listen, faith is the continuation of the Christian life. Faith is critical today. Faith is obviously essential for salvation. By grace, you've been saved through faith. But faith right now, for those of us who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith, what does faith do? Faith takes hold of that which is being taught to you right now, and you choose to act on it by faith, believing that what God says is right. Faith right now says, I believe that God has given to me his divine power. I believe that God has revealed his divine promises through his word that will renew my mind and allow me to carry on through this life in the midst of opposition and trial. Faith believes that we share in the divine nature of God, and therefore the expectations of my life should increase dramatically as each day goes by. That takes faith. Faith says, yes, Lord, I believe what you're saying is true and right. I believe this is reality, and I want to see more of it within my life as well. The text says you need to supplement your faith now with virtue. By the way, the word supplement here is very interesting. In the original, you boil it down, supplement means a generous and costly cooperation with God. We are to make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue. We are to live with a generosity of our lives to the Lord and living with cost. I think the language of living sacrifice is probably on point here. We are to, again, live in such a way that our lives are not our own. And we seek the effort of laying ourselves down to supplement our faith with these qualities because we desire to grow. What does it mean to supplement your faith with virtue? What is virtue? Virtue can be also translated excellence. It's the same word in verse 3. Remember that from last week. So again, the goal of our lives is to pursue the virtue and excellence of Christ. So brothers and sisters, look up here. Ready? Here's what we know for sure, 100%. God's will for your life is not mediocrity. Some of us need to write that down. Okay? Like you need to understand, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Who should I marry? What job should I get? Where should I live? Put all that aside right now. Here's the will of God. The will of God for your life is not mediocrity. Try that for a few weeks or months and get back to me, okay? The will of God is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is 100% the greatest point of God's will for your life. And right alongside that is to supplement your faith with virtue, the pursuit of excellence. It is not settling for mediocrity. That is never, ever God's will. Is there grace? Yes, tons of it. Inexhaustible grace, but the grace is there for us to get up and make every effort to fill our lives in the pursuit of the excellence of Christ. Then we have and supplement virtue with knowledge. Knowledge here is knowing Christ. It is the knowledge of his will, which we just talked about. Remember though, it's not the knowledge of just filling your mind with information. Some of you are tempted to do that. You love facts and knowledge. Here at Hope Bible Church, we don't really like Bible heads at all. Bible heads just have a bunch of information and no application. The information is to lead to transformation. That is the point of knowing God. You love him intimately and personally. You grow in doctrine and you grow in theology that it might result in a greater affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose and the point of doctrine and theology. It's what's happening right now, again, as we preach the word. And from knowledge, we see there's self-control. Self-control is obviously a fruit of the Spirit. By the way, self-control is massive for the genuine godly life. Self-control is so, so important that we would master our flesh to withstand the sin that crouches at the door to destroy us. By the way, too, I want you to understand this, kids or any of us, listen, there's no parent that can do self-control for you. There's no friend that can do this for you. You must make every effort to pursue self-control by the power of God's presence, grace, and Holy Spirit in your life. You are responsible with the Holy Spirit in you as a believer of Jesus Christ to pursue self-control that you may not fall to the temptation and destruction of sin that surrounds us all the time. Kids, stop relying on your parents for these things. They can't do this for you. Friends, stop relying on friends to do this for you. It's you. Let's go now. Make every effort by God's power and his promises as partakers of his divine nature. Pursue self-control, so massively important again within our lives. And where there's self-control and we see steadfastness. More to come on this in a few minutes, but steadfastness or endurance is so essential for our growth in Christ. Why? Because this just in, living for Christ is hard. Genuinely living for Jesus Christ is opposed. An authentic Christian life in Jesus Christ guarantees pain. And the temptation to give up will be plenty. So this is why steadfastness is an essential quality. Then we see godliness. Godliness is what we think it is. It's a life increasing in the pursuit of Christ. Godliness is wanting to look more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, this might be helpful. Our context was about the false teachers in chapter 2. The false teachers were the opposite of godliness. They said a bunch of words. They had no life to match it. They were the opposite of godliness. Christ's followers speak what's true and live what's true, and godliness and the reality, again, of the fruit of God's Spirit is seen within our lives. Then we have brotherly affection. Brotherly affection, this is the well-known word Philadelphia. It's the word and term for sisterly or brotherly love. It's a love between fellow believers. Peter's being led by the Holy Spirit to say, man, if we want to see fruit in our lives, we are to pursue fellow believers as family members. That we love each other as God is working in us. We love each other more consistently as, again, blood-bought family members in Jesus Christ. Let me just stop here for a second, just small moment of application. This is the excellence we want to see in Jesus Christ. We want to see, again, a brotherly, sisterly affection. Who can you love today? What sister or brother can you love in a greater measure today? Like, honestly, in Jesus' name right now, who is the Holy Spirit putting in your path and your mind today, right now, that by his grace, his power, and for his glory, you might love someone today to make every effort. Notice that. Make every, when I see them, I see them. No. Call them. Show up. Send them a text, whatever it is. Make every effort to supplement your faith with brotherly love and brotherly affection. And then again, it ends with love. It ends with love. The ultimate sign that we belong to Jesus Christ, the greatest virtue is love. Love is what sums up all the others, the qualities. They all lead to love. We are to make every pursuit of such qualities. Maybe I'll just ask this question right now, just before we move on here. As we go through that list and as we briefly unpack each one, what quality is the Holy Spirit kind of convicting you on right now? What qualities has the Holy Spirit right there given you a wonderful loving nudge, a message of grace and encouragement? Listen, the Holy Spirit speaking to you on such a quality, do not ignore him. Do not ignore him. Respond in obedience. I mean, he's going to bless that effort. God is doing his part. Now we must do our part in terms of making every effort to grow because of the power and the promises and the sharing in God's divine nature within our lives. Do you think God wants us to grow? Yes. And we are to make every effort to grow, again, by his grace and his strength. So I will make every effort to grow. We needed to go through that. That's very, very important. Secondly, by God's power and presence in my life, I will be effective and fruitful. God desires I will be effective and fruitful. Look at verse 8 now. For if these qualities, notice here, in 2 Peter chapter 1, every verse is building off the one that came before, right? It's just progression. So in verse 8, four. Now we're building off of verses 5 to 7. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if you are growing in these qualities, you are pursuing them with every effort in Christ. Notice, here's the promise, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All in favor of being effective and fruitful. I want to be effective and fruitful in my life. Okay, well, we're being told how right now. This is how I can be effective and fruitful. I must increase in the qualities that have just been listed. There's a guarantee of fruitfulness within our lives. Let us be reminded too, loved ones, that there's no neutrality in the Christian life. In the Christian life, we are swimming upstream. So the moment we stop swimming upstream, we start to fall back. There's no kind of coasting, sitting there and just treading water and not moving. We're going forward or we're going backwards. That's just the reality of what happens. That's why Peter's here. He's like, hey man, make every effort. In the next couple of verses, he's like, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. So verse 8, the key to effectiveness and fruitfulness, look at verse 8, is to be increasing in these qualities. We are to be seeking to have an abundance of such qualities. So what are we learning right now? Ready? Hugely important principle for Christian discipleship. Ready? We are never to be content spiritually. Contentment, spiritually speaking, is wrong. Now, contentment, materially speaking, is awesome. Contentment with the material possessions of the world, yes, powerful. But contentment spiritually, no. We're not done until Christ returns or we get to glory. So we cannot be content spiritually. Be careful. Lukewarm living believers are just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm better than him over there. I'm better than her over there. I'm doing all right. Nope. That's not the posture we need to have. Right here, 2 Peter 1 is blowing that up. We are to constantly seeking by God's grace. I keep saying that because it's his power and his grace and the reality of his divine nature, again, that we share his promises. We are to increase in the fruitfulness within our lives. We must not be content spiritually. Think of it this way too, right? A garden that is not tended or a garden that is not cared for, very, very quickly, the weeds take over. Very quickly. We all said this before in the past too. We all have one of those houses in our neighborhoods that doesn't care for their lawn. Doesn't look nice, does it? Everyone has one. And it's pretty ugly. And you don't cut the grass, you don't tend, you don't weed the garden, and like the wilderness just creeps in, man. I'm telling you, like, you gotta be watching and caring for your heart on a single everyday basis, that we are seeking to increase in the reality of what Jesus Christ again wants to do in our lives. And this is so necessary. It's right here in the text, increasing again in these qualities. Every day we wake up by God's grace and strength. I say that again and again and again and again. Our effort is rooted in his grace, but our effort nonetheless, as we seek to see, God, I want you to build more fruit again within my life. So by way of example of taking verse 8 and building off maybe of verses 6 and 7, let's take the example of self-control. Here's a proverb right here I want you to look at, Proverbs 25. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Think of the importance of self-control in terms of being effective and fruitful. The man or woman who lacks self-control is in grave, grave danger of becoming ineffective and unfruitful, if not much worse. The man without self-control in this room right now, it's like a city broken into and all the walls of protection are broken down. And the sin of lust through the pursuit of pornography comes in and starts to wreck his heart and ruin his marriage and destroy his chance to be a dad or father. Starts to eat him from the inside out.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.